وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد إن شاء الله we continue the class we were taken from the book منظومة أصول الفقه وقواعده للإمام الشيخ عثيمين رحمه الله. قال رحمه الله تعالى: وإن يضف جمع ومفرد يعم، والشرط والموصول ذا له انحتم، منكر إن بعد إثبات يرد فمطلق، وللعموم إن يرد من بعد النفي نهي استفهام، شرط وفي الإثبات للإنعام. واعتبر العموم في نص أثر، أما خصوص سبب فما اعتبر، ما لم يكن متصفا بوصف يفيد علة فخذ بالوصف. وخصص العام بخاص ورد كقيد مطلق بما قد قيد، ما لم يكن التخصيص ذكر البعض من العموم فالعموم أمضي. We go to start from bait 99. The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى said: من بعد النفي نهي استفهام شرط وفي الإثبات للإنعام. That bait is connected to the bait before that. From the statement وللعموم أن يرد من بعد النفي نهي استفهام شرط وفي الإثبات للإنعام. The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى he mentioned that if the نكرة comes after إثبات in the first bait 98, he mentioned that if the نكرة, a word which is نكرة, comes after affirmation, after إثبات, then it indicates what's called إطلاق. He make in this bait 99 exception, which is if the affirmation is about the blessings. He said that indicates generality, not itlaq. He Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala وفي الإثبات للإنعام أي انترد يرد أن ترد النكرة بعد إثبات في الإنعام تفيد العموم. That's what it means. We heard that bait last night. The new bait قال رحمه الله bait 100 واعتبر العموم في نص أثر أما خصوص سبب فما اعتبر. This is about a great principle, qa'ida, in which the ulama they say al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. That in the sharia, what is considered is not the reason that the text was mentioned at the beginning. Rather, what's considered is the generality of the meaning. For instance, the Shaykh gave example in the ayah, Surah Al-Mujadala. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. This ayah refers to the incident that one of the Sahabiyat, female companion, came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining about her husband. Allah said, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ, indeed Allah heard, قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, the statement of the one, الَّتِي, the one, the woman, who dispute you concerning her husband. The Prophet said, he gives her answer, she give back answer. She then وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, complaining to Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمْ, and Allah hears your conversation. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that female came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name is Barakallahu fik. Her name is Khawla bint who? Khawla bint Thalaba radiyallahu anha. Surah Mujadala, surah number 58. So her name is Khawla bint Thalaba. She came to the Prophet sallam complaining about her husband to Allah. Her husband was Aws ibn Samit. Aws ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. So she had an issue with her husband and she came to the Prophet sallam about that. And Prophet sallam gave her an answer, but still she asking question about the same issue. Allah said, Wallahu yasma'u tahawurakum, and Allah, verily Allah, and Allah hears the argument between you both. And Allah hears the argument between you both. In the Messenger sallam and that female companion, Khawla, radiallahu anha. Inna Allah sami'un basir, verily Allah is all hearer, all seer. In the house, somewhere in the house, was Aisha, the wife of the Prophet. She was very surprised in this ayah. She said, Subhanalladhi wasi'a sam'uhu. What was the hadith? Al-Aswat, barakallahu fikum. She glorified Allah Azza wa Jal, who hears all the voices. Why? Because she said, even though she was in the house, but she was not, she was missing some of the conversation between the Prophet ﷺ and Khawla. She was not hearing everything they were saying. She was hearing some, and she was missing some. She said, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard them from the above the seven heaven, min fawqi sab'i samawat. Above the seven heaven, she said, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Which shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his creation, above the seven heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in his universe, azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ba'inun min khalqihi. Allah is distinct from his creation, separate from his creation. And no creation is iyadan billah, as the disbelievers claim, is a part of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ahlu Sunnah say, ba'inu min khalqi. Allah fawqa sab'a samawat ala arshi istawa. Allah rose over his throne. The throne of Allah is the greatest, biggest of the creation of Allah, and it is the highest. Allah is above that, Azza wa Jal. But with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears that which is in our braces and our hearts. Simply because he is the one who is making the heart function. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. How is it possible Allah is not aware in our hearts and it is he subhanahu wa ta'ala who is making it function? So, that ayah was revealed, and Allah mentioned the ruling. When a man says to his wife, you are like my mother and the like, anta kadhari ummi, you are like the back of my mother, and what is the consequence? What is the expiation? Allah mentioned in that surah. So this ruling has a specific reason with Khawla and her husband. Do we say then this rule limited to them? Or this rule is general to everyone who is in that case, to every man who says to his wife the same statement? The answer is the second one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't mention khawla. Allah didn't mention khawla in the Quran. Allah mentioned, he said, allati. What is the meaning of allati? Yes? Allati in English. It doesn't have English word? Allati. Yes?
The one.
Sometimes which, sometimes she. It depends the statement. So this, the word allati, who, sometimes. If I say, رأيت طالبة التي حفظت القرآن. I have seen the female student التي حفظت القرآن. What's the meaning of التي here? Who memorized the Quran? Who? But here referring to the female. So this word, as we mentioned before, who is general word. Whoever does such and such is general. So therefore this rule is general. So the Sheikh said, وَعْتَبِرِ الْعُمُومَ فِي نَصٍ أُثِرْ أَمَّا خُصُوصُ سَبَبٍ فَمَعْتُبِرْ. The same thing, the ayah, Sheikh Uthaymeen brought the ayah. Prophet ﷺ said, the ayah that Allah said in his Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Those who accuse their wives, and they don't have witnesses but them. Then Allah mentioned the ruling. عِيَادًا بِاللَّهِ. A man accuses his wife that she committed عِيَادًا بِاللَّهِ فَنِكَيْتِ عِيَادًا بِاللَّهِ. And he doesn't have other witnesses. What is the ruling? Allah mentioned the ruling in Surah An-Nur. So this ayah, the reason of the beginning of the revelation of the ayah was في هلال ابن أمية رضي الله عنه وامرأته في هلال ابن أمية دي الصحابي and his wife. He said he accused her that she committed zina. And he was asked by the Prophet, do you have a proof? Do you have a witnesses? This issue need 4 witnesses. It's a rule that some Muslims, they don't know it. Yes, some of us, they don't, it's very dangerous. In Islam, remember this rule. In Islam, if you see a man and a woman committing zina, عياذا بالله, they make an intercourse, you 100% sure. It's not assumption. It's not, you 100% sure. Just like you sure your existence. Islamically, you are not allowed to say that to anyone, except if you have 3 other witnesses. If you don't have with 3 other witnesses, you are not allowed to say it, period. You are not allowed. Except if you are husband. That woman you're accusing is your wife. Now, yes, you can say it, but that has consequences. Other than that, you are not allowed. Not only yourself, if you come up with 3 other witnesses, let you assume them to be the greatest of the scholars. Subhanallah. Of our time, Francis, you could have brought Sheikh Al-Albani ibn Baz al-Uthaymeen. No, 2 of them. Sorry, 2 of them. Sheikh Uthaymeen and Sheikh Ibn Baz, for instance, you brought. You are not allowed to say that. Unless you have 4. The issue is not, have you seen or not? You have seen it. That's not what being rejected. But you can't say it. For wisdom, Allah knows. You cannot say it. If you say it, and you don't have those 3 other witnesses, it has consequence. What is that? ولم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم 80 جلدة 80 lashing, you'll be beaten 80 times. Not only that, ولا تقبل لهم شهادة أبدا, never accept a testimony from them. وأولئكم الفاسقون, those are rebellious. They again is the, they are in a state of disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. إلا الذين تابوا, except those who repent and confess their mistake and say we're sorry. We were not supposed to say that. We were not allowed to say, but we said it. Here, their repentance will be accepted and their testimony after that will be accepted. Unless they confess that they did wrong by talking without permission from the Sharia, without having the witnesses. If they don't do that, then it will not be accepted. This is the rule of Islam. If you see this rule and see what some people today easily, simply, oh, she commits zina, he commits zina. Muslims commit zina. In that Muslim land, there are so many zina. In this, and spreading this against the Muslims. With no proof. You are not allowed, akhi. I'm not allowed. So this rule should be known. It should be understood. This issue is not easy to accuse someone who commits zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he mentioned the rule if a man accuses his wife. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ, those who accuse their wives, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ, and do not have witnesses but them. And Allah mentioned the ruling. So this ayah, the Shaykh Uthaymeen said, is نَزَلَتْ فِي هِلَالِ ابْنُ أُمَيَّةِ. The reason of this, Allah descended this ayah at the beginning was because of that incident. Hilal ibn Umayyah accused his wife. Allah revealed the ayah. Is the rule then limited to Hilal or is general? Is applies to everyone who accuses his wife? How do we know that? Because Allah used the words of generality. وَالَّذِينَ, those is general. Those who accuse their wives. So this is the ruling. وَعْتَبِرُ الْعُمُومَ فِي نَصٍ أُثِرْ أَمَّا خُصُوصًا فَمَعْتُبِرْ. Some people today, if you understand this principle, then you understand this great issue. Some people, they say, when some people, they call the dead. They ask the dead. Wallahi, they fear the dead. For instance, they fear Shah Abdul Qadir Jilani. So they see birds, they think it's him. Wallahi al-Azim. I don't want to name him. One of the brothers you know here. He used to be from those, Sufia. Alhamdulillah. Who guide, whom he guide. We ask Allah to include us them. This brother, he used to be with those Sufis. So one day they went to the grave of the saint, of the sheikh, so-called saint. Allahu a'lam who is saint, but to that sheikh. And on their way, they saw a bird. Whoever wanted to see the brother individually, inshallah, I will ask him to let him, so you can hear from him, but I don't say it in public. Anyway, so he said, hold the cars, hold the caravan, hold the travelers. Because they saw the bird, they stopped. Why? Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani is here. No one can move until that bird goes, flies. Okay. They have the book, the Qadiriyya sect. In their book, Fuyudatu Rabbani Al-Ma'athir Qadiriyya, more than that is in that book. So, these people, when you say, tell them, fear Allah. Don't ask Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani created nothing. Provide nothing. Doesn't hear you. He would have feared he couldn't answer to you. He used to be poor some of time of his life. Used to be sick sometime of his life. just like any other human being. And now he need you more than you need him. He need your dua. You are alive. Still you have a chance to do righteous deeds. He doesn't have that one. انقطع عمله. His action stopped. Except if he did three things. He spread beneficial knowledge. He left the righteous offspring making dua for him. He left the continuous charity from him. That's different. Other than that, he cannot pray. He cannot fast. He cannot say subhanallah and get reward out of that. He's gone. You have that chance. You make dua for him. Al-mawta yud'a lahum wala yud'aun. The dead, you make dua for them. You don't ask them. This again is Islam from beginning to the end. The dead, even Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, you don't ask him, rather you make dua for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what it means. What's the meaning of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May the blessing and peace of Allah be upon who? Upon the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. What is this? This is not dua. It's dua. May the blessings and peace of Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad sallam. Sahaba, what do we say? Radiallahu. And what it means? May Allah be pleased with them. The ulama, the people of knowledge, rahimahum Allah, may Allah have mercy on them. Where they say these words, but they don't understand. Yet they turn around, oh Prophet Muhammad, without you we cannot survive. Astaghfirullah. These people, if you tell them, fear Allah, and don't call these. Because Allah said, such and such. You mention ayat. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Those they call besides Allah create nothing. They are created. Those they call besides Allah, says Allah create nothing. They are created. They say, Akhi, listen. You Wahhabi, come down. This verse, Yadam Billah, they say this verse is about those. Allah revealed this ayah in those who used to worship idols. Rocks, pictures, trees. Lata, Uzza, Manata. As for we disbelieve all those. We never had a statue, we never had a rock, we never had wood. Astaghfirullah. We only ask Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani to intercede for us. Were those used to worship Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani? No. Did they used to worship idols, rocks and images? Yes. Do we do that? They say no. How come you making us like them? This is the benefit of this subject. Akhi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade those people to worship other than him, Allah used some general words. General words. This applies to everyone. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ what was the ayah? وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا. Those they call besides Allah, those they invoke besides Allah, create nothing. Allah used those. Those. So this is general. This is from min al-fad al-umum. Al-ladina. The whole Arabs agree upon that. The word al-ladina is ismun mawsul and yufidu al-umum. It gives the meaning. It indicates the generality. This is one thing. On the other hand, Allah mentioned their description. Whoever being worshipped besides Allah, Allah mentioned that they create nothing. So, does Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, does he create anything? No. Then he include. Allah forbade to worship anyone who doesn't create. And no one creates but him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means he alone should be worshipped. So now, if you understand this principle, you are upon certainty that they are wrong when they differentiate between the one who worship a rock and the one who worship a straight human being. Even though these rocks and these images, it actually is not just because it's a rock. It's not just because it's an image. No, it's because these images and trees and wood resemble someone. It is that what they call it. So no difference if someone goes to the statue of Prophet Isa, for instance. The idol, they say, is Isa. Stretching his hands. They place it in the front of the graves and the church. someone go and ask, oh, Jesus, in front of that image or picture. And he doesn't do that. He may be in the masjid and he says, oh, Jesus. No difference. Either both ways he's calling Isa alayhi salam. So no difference. You bring, you make a rock and you decorate it and you give it the name of Sheikh Abdul Ghadir Jailani and you make sujood towards that picture or statue. Or you don't do that. You go to his grave. Or you don't do that. You call him wherever you are. No difference. All the you mean Sheikh Abdul Ghadir Jailani, regardless the means, through image, through rock, through it, you mean Sheikh Abdul Ghadir Jailani. The issue is not the rock itself. That's not the issue. The issue is you worshiping other than Allah. You believe in other than Allah benefiting you, while doesn't benefit you. Naam. So this word, the generality is what's being considered. So some people, they say, they take the verses Allah revealed subhanahu wa ta'ala to the idol worshiper and they put it into the Muslims. Yes, if you do like the Khawarij, who took the ayat which Allah revealed into the kuffar and they apply to the Muslims, yes, now you're wrong. The ayat that Allah revealed to the kuffar is because they had description. They used to worship other than Allah. They denied the day of judgment. Imagine someone take this ayat and he applies to someone who doesn't worship other than Allah, who believes the day of judgment. Is that accepted from him? No, it's different. So if someone does what the other worship used to do, regardless his name, he takes the same rule. If someone doesn't do what they used to do, it's unfair to give him, to judge him like them. Therefore, when the Khawarij, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all deviations, when they judge Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba and the Muslim kuffar, using the ayah that Allah revealed to the kuffar, قال ابن عباس ماذا قال رضي الله عنهما ذهبوا بآيات نزلت في الكفار فأنزلوها على المسلمين كما قال رضي الله عنه. They took verses which was sent down to the disbelievers and they placed on the believers. So they say وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَوَلَاكُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Meaning they say that Ali judged by other than what Allah revealed رضي الله عنه, which is not true. So that's not allowed. But if the person has the same description of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, then anyone who has that description, take the same rule. No difference. Because nothing is between Allah azza wa jalla and his creation, but actions. But actions. That's what makes someone close to Allah or distance someone from Allah, is actions. Not because of your background, not because of how much money you make. No. Allah ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أجسامكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Allah considers the actions and the intentions of the people, not anything else. Naam, not anything. Somebody is 50 years old, somebody is 40 years old, no difference. Somebody is male, somebody is female, no difference. No difference. What makes the difference is the statements, is the actions, and the intentions. So if someone has the same intention and the same action of idol worshippers, no difference. So someone who calling Sheikh Abdul Ghadir Jailani, for instance, or calling Hassan, or calling Hussein radiallahu anhu, or calling Ali, or calling anyone other than Allah, with the same argument the idol worship used to do, ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله. Or even if they don't use the word نعبدهم, they say هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. They use another word, توصل, نتوصل بهم إلى الله. The meaning, nothing changed. You believe that Sheikh Abdul Ghadir Jailani is hearing you. You believe that he is answering you. You believe that he understands all the language. And he hears all the language. And he hears everyone wherever he is. This is the description of Allah alone. Even that is not for Prophet Muhammad, it's not for Prophet Isa. How you believe from a human being to hear? Everyone. But some people, this is what they believe. Then when you remind those ayat, they say, no, you're taking the ayat of the kuffar and you're making against us. No, the ayat mentioned a description. Whoever has those descriptions, take the same rule. Then the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, ما لم يكن متصفا بوصف يفيد علة فخذ بالوصف. Now, the origin is that the general words, of the texts remain on generality. But here he makes exceptional unless there is a specific description for that generality, then it should be specified with that description. For instance, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa min al-birri as-siyamu fi as-safar." Laysa min al-birri as-siyamu fi as-safar. This hadith collected by Imam Bukhari. Laysa min al-birri as-siyamu fi as-safar. It's not from righteousness. It's not from the goodness. It's not from righteousness to fast traveling. Sound hadith. It's not from goodness. It's not from righteousness to fast while you are in a state of traveling. This here, this hadith, ليس من البر الصيام في السفر. Prophet, he used general word. One of the words the Sheikh mentioned. Those words he mentioned, it indicates the meaning of generality. Prophet, you use. He, عليه الصلاة والسلام, used. What is that letter who remember? ليس من البر الصيام في السفر. What word is يفيد عموم? Yes? Where? ليس من البر. Did the Sheikh mention من from الفاظ العموم? لا. ليس من. من. That was شرط or استفهام. Yes. الألف واللام. الصيام. للاستغراق. للعموم. ألف and لام. The Sheikh mentioned. والموصول ذا له انحتم. والشرط والموصول ذا له انحتم. This ألف and لام is للاستغراق. So, ليس من البر. It's not from righteousness. الصيام. كل الصيام. All fasting and traveling. Now, the Sheikh, he says that, yes, here there is generality, but this generality should be specified because of the description of that incident. Prophet, when he said this hadith, there was a reason. He was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, traveling with his companion, and it was Ramadan. It was fasting day. It was fasting day and it was very heat. Then he saw Sallam, someone, people crowded around him. And they have a garment, a cloth to give him shade from the sun. They around him, circling him. Prophet said, what is that? They mentioned that he is suffering because of the fasting. So they give him shade because of the heat, because he thirsty, and he fell down. There, Prophet Sallam said, it's not from righteousness to fast traveling. To fast while traveling. So now, whoever has the description of that man, he's a traveling. And if he traveled, he fell down. He passed out. He can't move. He needs people to help him. He gets sick because traveling, because of fasting, this man is not doing righteous action in Islam. That's not from righteousness. If he thinks he's doing righteousness, no. Now you have some Muslims who, alhamdulillah, they grow up from the day, young age, in fasting, in making salah. Then they get old. Sometimes 80, 85, 90, sometimes 100. Some of them, they don't stop fasting. So they pass out. Some of them, they keep on praying, even though they don't know where direction is. I know some of them. Whatever you tell them, they are not stopping. Mother, you don't have to pray, mother. She doesn't know what she reciting. Fatiha or At-Tahiyyat or what happened. 100 times she prays, she doesn't know she pray even. Because of the age, because of the sickness. Fasting, fasts. But fast, khalas, this person is khalas, pass out. You cannot stop. So now, if that person would have been educated, would know the sunnah, he would have known that this act is not from righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to you, so merciful to you, that he didn't make, while you are in that state, in a state, he didn't make the fasting mandatory on you or the salah. The salah to pray, you have to have, you have to be sane. The fasting to fast, you have to be able. So now, this hadith applies to them. لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ يعني someone who is traveling, but cannot fast. He suffer if he fast. For instance, he gets sick. He needs people to help him. He lose consciousness. Now he is not doing righteous action. So this generality, we specify to that description. We don't say it's general, so nobody should fast. And there are some people who said that, by the way. They say no one should fast traveling. When you're traveling, you're not allowed to fast because Prophet ﷺ, he used general word. He said, it's not from righteousness fasting when traveling. The ulama, they answer. They say this principle we took from the deen, which is that Prophet ﷺ, he himself used to fast when he's traveling. In Ramadan, he used to fast sometimes, ﷺ. One of the journey, it was very heat. Only two were fasting. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and Abdullah ibn Rawah. He also was fasting. How you understand collectively this hadith, it's not from righteousness to fast while traveling, and he is himself traveling. The only way is that when he says, وسلم, it's not from righteousness to travel, to fast, while traveling, he وسلم, was talking about a specific issue. He's talking about a certain scenario. Whoever has that description, yes, the rule applies to even our time. Other than that, fasting while traveling, the origin is permissible. It's not mandatory on you. It's not mandatory on the traveler to fast. But he should make it up. فَعِدَّةُ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. But if he chooses to fast, and he can fast without suffering, then yes, it's legislated. Yes, the ulama, they have different opinion. What one is good? If somebody is able to fast, no problem, but he's traveling, which one is better, to fast or not to fast? Some of them say to fast. Brother Hassan chooses that opinion to be safe side. Yeah, Sheikh Uthaymeen said that, rahimahullah ta'ala, the author. Some ulama, they say no, it's better not to fast. Why? They say Allah give you permission, and there's hadith, Allah love to accept the his allowances, his what's rukhas. Yes? His permission is. When Allah made something mandatory, azima, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to apply it, He also likes when He may give you permission to take that. This is hadith. So say, based on that, not to fast is better. And some ulama, they say, no, it depends. It depends. The origin is permissible. Not this one, not this one. If it is easy, convenient for you, it's better to fast. If it's not convenient for you, it's better to break it. And it is you who can judge that, not someone else, how he feels. So the same people traveling, some of them for them in the deen is better to break fasting, some of them is better for them in the deen to fast. Is it understandable? Then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said, وخصص العام بخاص ورد كقيد مطلق بما قد قيد. This is another principle. which is, it may be somehow close to what we have said now, but it's different. If this text, the Sheikh mentioned, if there is a generality, text shows general meaning. But there is another text which shows specification of that general wording, then you let the general wording remain in this generality, but in that specific case you make exceptional. For instance, the hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, لا صلاة بعد العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. No prayer after Asr till sun sets. No prayer after Asr till the sun sets. No prayer. لا صلاة. What do we have here? صلاة. نكرة في سياق نفي أي نهي أي لا تصلوا يعني نهي بمعنى نفي بمعنى نهي is negation with the meaning is prohibition لا صلاة no prayer after عصر no prayer after عصر this text here is negation no man in the masjid. It's negation. It's not prohibition. But in this text, it means prohibition. And it's more stronger than using prohibition word, they say the ulama. When the negation is used, and nafi is used, and it's meant prohibition, it is stronger than using the prohibition. لا صلاة بعد العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. No prayer. Is general prayer after Asr till the sun sets. By the way, Sheikh Al-Alban rahimahullah, he see that this hadith, there is another hadith which makes exception that it's not right after Asr prayer, rather is in the isfirar, is when the sun is about to turn into red. So not right after Asr. Yes, the Jumhur al-Ilm said that. But some ulama like Sheikh Al-Ban, they say, no, this hadith doesn't mean right after Asr. Rather, it means close to the Maghrib time because some of the Salaf was narrated that they used to pray or they used to give fatwa to pray two rak'ah after Asr. Like Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, Abu Ayyub al-Ansar, radiallahu anhu, Aisha, radiallahu anha. So, to pray two rak'ah after Asr. Some of the Salaf used to pray it. But if the time is in the isfirar, what's isfirar? When the sun changes, the color changes, close to the Maghrib. Yes. Then this hadith applies that time. So that time, no prayer, Prophet ﷺ said. So this is general. And then we have another hadith. إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فلا يجلس حتى يصلي ركعتين. So in that hadith, the hadith indicates that no prayer after Asr until the sun sets. And that the other hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد, if one of you enters the masjid, فلا يجلس حتى يصلي ركعتين, he shouldn't sit down until he pray two rak'ah. If someone enters the masjid, he shouldn't sit down until he pray two rak'ah. And both hadiths are sound. How do we understand? So let we have this scenario. Someone entered the masjid in the isfirar time before the sunrise. In this hadith, the previous hadith is not allowed to pray until the sun sets. And in this hadith, he is not allowed to sit down without praying. What should we do? Some ulama, like Imam Shawkani, he said he shouldn't enter the masjid. Imam Shawkani, rahimahullah. Tayyib. Some ulama, they say, the first hadith, no asr, no prayer after asr, and then the sunset is general. And this hadith is exceptional. That if someone wants to sit in the masjid, it's exceptional. To this case, he pray two rak'ah. The others, they say, that's general and this is general. Which is true. No prayer after asr till the sunset is general. That to that time. And this hadith, if one of you entered the masjid, he shouldn't sit down without praying, is also general. How you make this hadith make exception to that generality? They say because we find that the generality of the previous hadith has also other exceptionalities, which means you can pray, the ulama they agree upon, it's consensus. When Prophet ﷺ said no asr, no prayer until the sun, after asr, until the sun sets, he didn't mean sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mandatory prayers. So if somebody wake up before the sun sets, he forgot, he overslept from asr, what should he do? The ulama they agree upon, he has to pray asr. The hadith doesn't apply to. So the hadith make exception for the mandatory. Also, so they say the hadith, that the first hadith has exceptionals. Other than, but the hadith, unlike the hadith, don't sit down the masjid without praying, no exceptional. We don't have in the sunnah, Prophet ﷺ entering masjid or allowing somebody to enter masjid and sitting down without praying. Rather, even the one who did that, and while he ﷺ was giving Friday prayer, he tell him, he asked him, did you pray? He said, no. He said, stand up and pray. And hadith, so they say, then the generality of the first hadith, no salah, no prayer after asr, till the sun sets, is not as strong as the other one because of many exceptional. So it should, then this should be exceptional. So therefore, some ulama, they say, if the salah has a reason after asr, if the prayer has a reason, he has a reason. Like you make wudu. You make wudu from the sunnah of the message. If you make wudu to pray to rak'ah. Like a kusuf, the eclipse took place. Like a janazah, a Muslim die. And that's the time. This, they say, these are reasons. And the like of this is exceptional. After asr, after fajr. But there are three other times, no prayer, period. No eclipse, no janazah, nothing. That's when the sun is about to rise. No prayer whatsoever, except the mandatory. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, in the before the duhur time. And when the sun is about to set, the qurs is. Now those time, the sun is either a part of the sun is on the ground and a part of it is apparent. Either coming out or going in, it's not allowed to. Even janazah prayer, it's not allowed to perform that time. Should be waited. But before that, yes. Yes. It is Zawal. What do you call Zawal? Zina. That time. It's not allowed. Even janazah prayer, no those prayers. If somebody come to masjid and give people salam and he makes his voice, he makes his voice loud, what is the rule? Al-Muhim, if somebody enter the masjid and he say his voice loud, was the ruling. The origin is when someone makes say salam, he has a reason. He is to say salam to the Muslim he came to. If he can say salam without disturbing anybody, he applied the sunnah, and on the other hand, he didn't disturb anyone. He should do that. But if he say salam, while he can say salam and greet some of them, and he did the sunnah, if he says he will make salam in a way he disturb other people who are busy with their own stuff or have something to focus on, then it's better to consider that situation. Therefore, Prophet ﷺ, when he comes to his house, night time, he used to greet. A greeting, the one who is awake can hear it. And the one who is sleeping cannot hear it. This is the hikmah. So you come to your house in the middle of the night, you don't say, Salamu alaikum, so the kids, everybody, your mother, your father, everyone wakes up. La, la, la. Say greeting in a way, if somebody is awake, he hears you. Somebody is leaving, you don't disturb. Wallahu alam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.